What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 153 of Rain Delay Radio. I have no idea if we're putting this one out Sunday morning or if it's coming out at Monday at the usual time, but we are literally recording this 20 minutes after the big news dropped. Before we get into that, I'm Patrick. I'm joined today by Dylan. Dylan, how you doing?
I feel like 700 million bucks today.
You know what? I picked a good day to wear my Dodgers hat.
Of course you have a Dodgers hat. I should have worn my...
I've got two Dodgers hats, actually.
I should have worn my Ohtani Japan jersey. I would not have an Angels or Dodgers jersey, but... Yeah, pretty crazy stuff, and I'm glad we get to... Wild. We're ready to roll here.
Yeah, so about 20 minutes ago... Shohei Ohtani dropped a bombshell on his Instagram announcing that he was joining the Dodgers. And then it was put out by Jeff Passan for 10 years, $700 million.
That is just the most absurd number. In our wildest dreams, man, like, I just did not see it.
Dude, we thought the Sim Ohtani contract was insane.
Yeah, for to give people, and we'll get into the actual real life implications, but to give people an idea of the sin that me and Pat helped do, he got 650 or 630, somewhere around there.
Something like that. It was over 15 years.
Yeah, it was over 15 years, and we're like, oh, that's so stupid. That's so long and stupid.
and then the Dodgers are not even close. Yeah.
I guess it's close, but yeah, hold my beer. Hold my blank too. I think the pitching thing, the arm issues, kind of there's so much consternation and doubt about man, is he gonna be the same? Is that gonna impact him? What's gonna happen? And I think maybe he makes more, but I think this is proof that the Dodgers and whoever else were making serious contract offers were truly viewing this as maybe the most game-changing, transaction the sport has had in, generations. So,
possibly ever.
Yeah. We're talking Barry Bonds to the Giants,
A-Rod Babe Ruth to the Rangers, to the
Yankees, there's these... but even that one is A-Rod didn't end up exactly doing a ton.
But at the time it was a big deal.
It was a kind of a giant shift in the sport. It's just as far as the money he's going to bring in, as far as the talent, as far as the star power, and then the natural fit with the team that I think everyone still thought, even after yesterday, was a favorite. It's just so much of it to talk about.
Yeah, so let's get into yesterday real quick, because yesterday was just
the funniest day.
So we start the day 8 a.m. with John Morosi putting out a tweet that Shohei's decision was imminent, possibly as early as today. Now the day, which was December 8th, also marked 6 years to the day that Shohei signed his original contract with the Angels. So, there is a lot of, he's gonna sign his new contract on the same day that he first came to MLB. And then there was, Blue Jays fans did it again, with tracking a plane. They really did it again. So there was a flight going from Anaheim straight to Toronto, a private flight. And the aircraft matched, the make and model matched what Shohei usually flies when he flies private. So this started up a whole bunch of rumors that Shohei was going to be on the plane, that's going to Toronto, he's going to sign with Toronto. And then there was another report that Yusei Kikuchi had rented out a sushi bar for 50 plus people, and
a giant restaurant. Yeah.
And Yusei and Shohei are close, extremely close. So this kind of furthered the, oh my gosh, Shohei's going to the Blue Jays.
And the betting markets were moving toward Toronto.
Oh, dude, the betting markets were insane.
Some of that was the plane, right? But, you know, I think there had been obviously some smoke that Toronto
talked
to him, right? And so any team that we knew talked to him were like, well, you could see it. And, you know, you were afraid of the Braves and stuff like that. I'm sure Braves had their internal, external conversations or whatever. But, like, the teams that we know talked to him were the teams that were like, well, yeah, like, maybe you can envision it. And the Dodgers were just kind of lurking there.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind that 2 days before this was the Dave Roberts fiasco.
Yeah.
Where he straight up came out and said, oh, yeah, we talked to Shohei. We visited with Shohei. And then, like, the whole meltdown with Dodgers ownership supposedly happened and all this. And, you know, everyone was saying, oh, man, you know, they just blew the secret. They're going to lose out on Shohei now. Yeah. So anyways, getting back to... go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think we'll talk more about the secrecy aspect of this. I think the Instagram post was a fitting into, this whole drama, this fake drama that was kind of drummed up. But I do think the whole Dave Roberts said something, they're screwed. Like, that was never going to be the case, right?
No.
I think what mainly he did not want was money figures going out into the public. And as far as I know, I mean, maybe there is a report of maybe he could get $600 million. That's the only thing I ever saw that was like Ohtani is looking for X or, you know, anything like that. So I think the important things did stay tight. You know, I don't think anyone cares. And the playing stuff was such reckless, stupid speculation and didn't even involve him in the end. You can finish telling that tale.
Yeah. So the plane takes off and I'm one of these idiots that's tracking the plane because I'm fully investing all my energy at work into the Shohei stuff. There was the Kikuchi rumor, and then Dodger Nation JP Huntra, I think that's his name.
Boy howdy.
Oh boy howdy. He puts out an article saying that Shohei's decision was in. He signed with the Blue Jays and was heading to Toronto to announce the deal. So now this is like adding to now no one's confirming this or denying this at this time.
Literally just one person.
It's just the one guy. Well, no one was coming out denying it yet either. Like everyone was
It took maybe like 30 minutes to an hour
about an hour.
John Heyman and then to say like no, nothing's there.
Yeah, so they said nothing. There was no deal reached yet, and then John Morosi once again drops a tweet saying Shohei was on a plane to Toronto. And then immediately after, Bob Nightingale and Jim Bowden come out and straight up deny it. Bowden even went as far as calling Morosi a liar, which was hysterical.
big, strangely huge W for Bob Nightingale, Jim Bowden, and John Heyman. Our favorite boys in baseball journalism. Actually coming out on top among their peers.
So now no one at this point knows what to believe. No one knows what to believe. Reddit is on fire. Twitter is on fire. Dodgers, Blue Jays message boards are on fire. I literally started listening to Toronto sports talk radio. Dude, the callers were going insane. They're like, oh, this is Kawhi Leonard again. You know, he's coming on the plane. We're going to greet him. And I'm just thinking, well, you guys remember what happened with Kawhi, you know, when you greeted him off the plane.
Yeah.
So about 4:30, the plane finally lands. And I think that's when the tweet went out that Shohei was not on a plane. But people were at the airport and someone got a picture of the guy stepping off the plane. And it was literally Shark Tank investor Robert Kurjevec, I think that's how you say his last name.
Yeah, I'm not sure to say the name. I didn't recognize the name, and then I saw his face, and I'm like, oh my god, it's that guy.
it's the Shark Tank guy, which was hysterical. Funny. So now I feel like an idiot because I've just been following a freaking Shark Tank investor's plane all day. Like I feel like an idiot. And at this point, no one knows what's happening with Shohei. A lot of Blue Jays beat writers are putting out, Shohei hasn't reached a decision. It seems likely it'll be Toronto, but we don't know yet. So fast forward to today, you know, I'm refreshing Twitter vigorously, and I'm just like, you know, I just want to see him sign. You know, at this point, I was just tired of it. And then, literally, half hour ago, the bombshell drops, and it's the Dodgers and not the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, like, so I like the Dodgers. Like, if there was a team in the National League I had to cheer for over the Phillies, it'd be the Dodgers. You know, especially because they had those Philadelphia ties with Utley and Rollins being on those teams. So it's pretty cool that he's going there. That said, I did kind of want him to go to Toronto just because of the legacy factor.
Yeah, it was also, for me, it fit. It checked a lot of boxes of, like, team that's competent, but I don't, like, care that much about, you know what I mean? And it stays out of the Braves way.
Yeah.
You know, so I would never feel basically complicated rooting for him other than, like, you know, the World Series, if that ever happened.
For me, it was like, you know, you go to Toronto, you are now the biggest star to ever play in that team's history. And you could really make your legacy on that team.
Yeah.
And you can bring a championship to that team. And you go down in that team's history. With the Dodgers, and this isn't to say that he wouldn't be remembered, but, like, he's just another guy to put on a Dodgers uniform now. You know, him going to the Dodgers kind of feels like KD going to, or Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, you know. Whereas going to the Blue Jays would have been like, man, yeah, like, this is, like, the best player in baseball trying to make his own legacy in an international city. And not only be this hero of that city, but be the hero of that entire country.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of narratives that added up. But I think the other half of this is that I think we were lining up all the narratives for the Blue Jays because we didn't treat them as, like, a serious contender before this past week.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I think because the narratives for the Dodgers has existed for the last year or, like, how long? Not even
longer
year,
than that.
3 years?
Ever since, you know, he signed with, like, the Angels.
Basically, ever since we started seeing free agency or, like, should the Angels trade him? What's going to happen? Yeah. You know, ever since this happened, which I would say is maybe 2+ years, the Dodgers have always been the team because of money. They are the closest thing we have in sports to a perfectly run franchise. And I say that in, like, a jealous way, you know, and even despite how good the Braves are, like, the Dodgers do basically nothing wrong minus one errant contract to Trevor Bauer that, you know, they had to pay for, but
usually their contracts work out.
But they just do everything right. And they do everything the model way. And, you know, they've went out and found guys and paid guys that other teams are not willing to. And those guys have been their current leaders on the team. Yeah. And now they have, you know, just this giant. And it's, you know,
the greatest player of
all time. It doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that he did land here. You know, I was very curious. You know, I think there is a little bit of that legacy stuff when it comes to, like, hey, you being the biggest Blue Jay of all time compared to, well, Dodgers fans are going to always have their own guys or whatever, right? Like LeBron to the Lakers, right? It kind of feels like that.
It does feel like
where that. Where it's like, yeah, the Lakers have Magic Johnson. LeBron is a better player than Magic Johnson. He's a better player than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all these guys. But, like, you know, Lakers fans are always going to have their guy. Dodgers fans are going to have their guy. All that being said, this is just such an outlier and such and just absolute monster of a contract and a signing. Like I said, $700 million was just,
it's a lot.
It just doesn't feel right. The one note is that apparently tons of it is pushed into the future. So this is kind of a, like, the most extreme Bobby Bonilla, which makes sense. Like, I don't think anyone was just going to be like, we'll afford to pay him $70 million this year. Like, no one was going to do that. You know what I mean? Apparently he structured it that way so they could still, you know, make some moves. And I'm sure the Dodgers are fine with that. I do still think they have a little bit of work to do, interestingly enough.
Yeah, but, I mean, they got to figure out a 2024 rotation. That's
yeah, the big their rotation thing. Is easily the biggest part of this right now.
I'm pretty sure Emmett Sheehan is the opening day starter for 2024 right now.
Yeah, because they still got to re-sign Kershaw. Bueller will be back, but he didn't even pitch at the end of the year, so yeah. It's like, will he be full strength or they take it easy? Urias is obviously on to wherever he's going to be going. No one knows.
Gonsolin had Tommy John.
Yeah, May had Tommy John. So they have a lot of work, and Shohei can't pitch. So, yeah. You know, they have a lot of work left to do in the rotation. I think they could do that via free agency and trades. It is unfathomable. And I wanted to make one more note real quick before we, because I'm sure that we got a lot more things we want to get to on this just one topic. But the Dodgers writer, you know, that tweeted that stuff out, and I just want to say, I planted my flag the second that happened. We had our friends that are Dodgers fans were like, JP Hornstra is very reliable. He wouldn't be doing this if, you know, he wasn't serious about it, right? Like, yeah. And I was like, that's all fine and good. You can be the most reliable reporter in the world. I didn't believe it for one second. I thought it might be possible he ends up with the Blue Jays. The whole thing about him agreeing to a contract yesterday was nonsense. And I am glad that I was on the right side of history on that one, because I was very vocal to our friends personally that is a bunch of BS, and that was such a grotesquely stupid thing for someone who calls himself a serious reporter to do. And I will be extremely curious to see how, you know, his future is, because I feel like at minimum, he's just going to get berated by Blue Jays fans until the rest of time, right? And at worst, I mean, he was one of the people trying to, you know, upstage this whole secret, you know, kind of, you know, under the table negotiations. Like, I can't imagine the Dodgers and Ohtani were very happy about that situation either, considering right. How yesterday went. So I just wanted to take a victory lap on that. I didn't get much else right. I figured he would go to the Dodgers, and I figured he'd make a ton of money. But I was that part, you know, like I was really very confident that no one was going to get that scoop before anyone else. And yeah. I, you know, the fact that the thing that told us was a Dodgers logo on Instagram, you know, that was a fitting end to this whole saga. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting what the post says. Here it is, pulling it up. To all the fans and everyone involved in the baseball world, I apologize for taking so long to come to a decision. I've decided to choose the Dodgers as my next team. He thanks the Angels. Where's the... to all Dodgers fans, I pledge to always do what's best for the team and myself until the last day of my playing career. There are some things that cannot be conveyed in writing. JP Hornstra does seem to think something happened. Like, obviously, we don't know how credible his sources was. He thinks something may have happened with the Blue Jays deal that fell through.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I mean, he might think they made a substantial offer, right, and did everything right, and had something, maybe a handshake from him. You know, there might have been something, but like, that's why you don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Like, I hope this is a message to, like, reporters to stop doing this. Like, it is... I love the rabbit chase, don't get me wrong. Like, I appreciate the flow of information. But the idea that I have to be first based on flimsy information is absurd. It doesn't get you anything. Yeah. And this is a career-altering decision that guy made. That if it went right, what would he have gotten? Some clicks, like he did when he got it wrong. And if he gets it wrong, his, like, he's just going to be mocked until his entire career is done. You know? So I hope this is, like, baseball media looked pretty bad over the last week for a variety of reasons. I think Buster Olney's column was the worst of it, where he was basically ripping into Ohtani's camp for being silent and concocted a fake scenario, which he was like, Ohtani was donating money to the children of Toronto and, you know, like kissing babies and complimenting Kevin Gausman and, you know, it was kind of embarrassing to, like, I was getting like secondhand embarrassment following it. So I'm glad that part of it's over. I think Ohtani and the teams did everything right. And I think baseball media had a really bad week.
Yeah, it was definitely not the best week for baseball media and writers in general. But now they got their content. Ken Rosenthal melting down over the secrecy.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it's just like the Buster Only article was insane.
Yeah, the Only one was the worst one. Like,
Yeah.
If you want to talk in your own circles or on a podcast and say, like, man, I wish he was more open about stuff. Sure. Like, man, that's not like the worst thing to say. But to get on your soapbox and say he needs to play by our rules is comical. And guess what? Guess what was more impactful?
Him posting on Instagram.
Him posting on Instagram and then Jeff tweeting $700 million after we knew what team he signed for. That was the most impactful thing that happened. So I guess Jeff Passan actually gets the W on that one because he was the first one to tweet the contract number.
Julio's in shreds right now.
So, like, yeah, I was very frustrated. As someone that has a lot of connections to journalism, I was, you know, doing sports journalism for a while. You know, it was a really embarrassing kind of few days for those people, but it's really a sideshow for what this main kind of situation is. And so I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we mentioned the rotation for the Dodgers, but just like, what is that like?
The lineup? Oh man.
The lineup, like the line, it's not like the most like 1-9 lineup ever, right? Like, end of the season, kind of like they needed some guys to step up, young guys, whatever, right? And they still have some kind of holes to fill, but like, the 1-2-3 just makes you just go like, what? So
I'm pulling up the Dodgers 2023 team. So I imagine the lineup's going to go something like Shohei leadoff, Betts second, Freeman third, Will Smith cleanup, if not Max Muncy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm Smith curious to see follow. Who they end up.
I don't think
he stays first.
I think it'd be Mookie first.
I think Mookie stays first just because they've had him there forever and he's just the platonic leadoff guy. And then Shohei second, Freddie third,
then Will Smith fourth.
Maybe you could. I don't think the double lefties will matter. Or you go Smith third. He could, but.
And Shohei cleanup or Freddie cleanup?
I wouldn't. I would bat Shohei second. I would get him. I would have those three guys hitting the first inning every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you go Smith or Muncy cleanup, and the other one fifth, and then and then that, like, there's the whole, because Miguel Vargas, you don't know what he's gonna look like. We don't know if Chris Taylor. I mean, Taylor was kind of decent this year, but I don't know if he's gonna be a full time guy. Altman probably is gonna hit high in the lineup. So he had a solid year. And then, like the outfield right now, like left field, they probably could use a left fielder over David Peralta.
Oh, Peralta's gone, right?
Is he?
Someone tweeted the lineup. Chris Taylor still signed, so yeah, he would play left field. Altman in center, Hayward in right, because Mookie moves to second.
That's right, Mookie moved to second.
So the biggest question marks would be, would they want... They need a platoon partner for Jason Hayward, which Chris Taylor could probably do. Do you want Chris Taylor playing every single day? Which probably not. Gavin Lux, a shortstop. I mean, sure, but there's issues with that. And then
I think the Dodgers are going to probably sign another outfielder.
Max Muncy is the biggest one here.
Yeah.
Where Max Muncy third base is not somewhere you want to be. You know what I mean?
I mean, Muncy's basically infield Kyle Schwarber at this point.
He has zero other place to play than third base because he can't play first. Right? He's going to play 160 games in first base.
Yep.
Mookie's going to play probably 100 and some at second base and then share some
shortstop.
Right field. Like, you know, wherever. And then they'll all mix DH when Shohei has a day off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he takes some days off. So I think he might be a trade candidate. or something.
And I don't think they would trade Muncy just because, like, he's such a franchise icon there.
Yeah, but, like, franchise icon, you know, like, we have to, like, be careful with, like, hyping guys up. But, I mean, I think he is, like, the emblematic guy of, like, the Dodgers system, right? Like, yeah. He is, like, the number one, I don't know, maybe number one's too much, but, like, Max Muncy's the guy who I think of when I think of, like, the modern Dodgers and, like, turning nothing into something. Justin Turner is the other one, you know, where they basically took these guys that just got cast off for nothing and turned them into what we see with Chris Carter or Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, Justin Turner. Obviously, Turner's gone right now, but so I do, and he signed like a couple extensions to kind of just kick around for a year or two here and there. There's a chance they just find a way to kind of fit him in, but he's kind of a weird guy to be like a super utility guy, considering he is just such an, he's a zero defense guy, you know? And it's nothing, like, they could start him at third, but, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he'd want to do that. So even if they keep him, maybe they have a backup plan. For someone that could really handle defense, a couple of defensive positions, better than Gavin and Max Muncy. So, and like you said, the rotation
needs a lot of help. Miller is probably the opening day starter.
Yeah, Bobby Miller's the guy we forgot.
And he's Ben Sheehan, and then like you have nothing else. Because Kershaw would not be able to pitch until August, theoretically, because of his injury. Bueller, you don't know when he's going to be back. May, out with Tommy John. Gonsolin, out with Tommy John. So they're probably going to sign another pitcher.
Yeah.
I wonder if they go for Yamamoto and try and use Ohtani to lure him here.
I was just about to ask that. Because, I mean, all right, hold on. I'm going to pull up SpoTrac Dodgers. I'm going to look at what their money situation is. Obviously, this is
about, they have a lot committed right now.
Yeah, but this is without knowledge of exactly how much they're paying Ohtani this year, right?
Yeah.
They have a lot committed, but it's not as much as you'd think.
Right.
Because really, I mean, they're going to sign Kershaw, I'm sure. Or if they don't, that'll be really surprising. But there's a couple of guys. But Mookie makes 30, Freddie makes 27, Ohtani makes whatever he makes. So that's
Freddie
like the
makes
first,
only 27.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
So that's like $100 million. Let's say, you know, let's say Shohei's at least making, you know, couple dozen this year, whatever it is. That's probably close to 80, 90, 100 million this year between those three guys, right? That's your big spending. You got a lot of guys in arbitration, not surprising, but none of them should be too expensive other than Bueller and Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Chris Taylor at 13 million for the next 2 years. You got Max Muncy at 9.5 and 14.5. And then it's a lot of 1 year deals. So, like, they have enough money kind of like starting to wean off where it's like I think you could see a universe where they sign someone else that's like really big. I just don't know if it's Yamamoto necessarily.
See, my thought process is Blake Snell.
I could see that.
He feels like a Dodgers type pitcher, or, you know, they don't go for like the big,
who is left?
Big name arm. So I feel like they were going to go for big name arm, it would have been Nola. I feel like Nola would be a guy that would fit better for them than Snell. And they did try and go for Nola, apparently. But
yeah,
Nola wanted to be a Philly.
Who is remaining on this list right now? So Yamamoto is obviously the biggest one by far. Yeah,
and that's like a bidding war between the Mets and the Yankees at this point.
Okay, so did you see the thing that the Mets didn't ever talk to Ohtani?
I'm shocked. I figured they would have at least tried.
And I'm sure there's plenty of teams that I'm going to be like, wow, the Braves didn't talk to him. Wow, the Phillies didn't talk to him. But, like, of all the teams, I'm really surprised the Mets did not take a meeting.
Well, because it felt like coming after Cohen bought the Mets, the big thing was it was going to be between the Mets and Dodgers. when he hit free agency. So, interesting.
Yeah, and I understand they, you know, were backing up payroll and they're paying a lot for those guys they just traded. But it does surprise me they didn't even try. Yeah, I guess it really is. It starts with Yamamoto, then goes down to Snell.
Montgomery.
Montgomery. And you got, you know, you're in the Lucas Giolitos and folks of the world. So Marcus Stroman. So, yeah, I think that you really got to circle those two guys. Maybe you can throw in Imanaga as like the fourth.
Yeah.
Behind Montgomery. So maybe those three or four feel like they need to do something there. But yeah, you got Walker Buehler, who's, like I said, in his final year of arbitration. Like, they could retain him or just let him go. That's a giant chunk of money going away after next year. They got guys that are on money, like Max Muncy, Chris Taylor. They're on contracts that are very movable. They're not, like, assets, you know? But, like, a team would happily take Max Muncy and make him their first baseman or DH.
Yeah.
So I think they have a ton of flexibility remaining despite these giant contracts. So I'm certainly not equally interested because it's impossible to be equally interested in what we just saw. But I'm very interested to see how they kind of navigate the rest of their roster.
So this is a wild tweet that was put out by Foolish Baseball.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani's $700 million contract beats Mike Trout's record-setting $426 million contract by Alex Rodriguez's second record-setting contract of $275 million.
It's just one of the most absurd things you could possibly
say. Unbelievable, man. And, like, I kept saying, like, because the Ohtani news broke while me and Marissa were in a car heading home. I just kept saying, 10-700, that's insane. And, yeah, like, I've had my Ohtani concerns with the second Tommy John surgery and how he's going to...
Right.
You know, handle recovering from that, and you know, what are the powers going to be there? Like, man, you gotta think, dude. Like, if Ohtani's not hitting nukes that first month, how quick do you think Dodger fans turn on him in that contract?
I think you gotta give it. I actually think Dodgers fans might give it a little time, even if he isn't perfect, just because he did have the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first year is not the year that you're paying him $700 million for. I mean, obviously, right. I think we all expect him to be great, right? I don't think there's any, like, ambiguity about how good he is as a hitter and focusing on as a hitter. He should be fine. And he's done it hurt before. I don't think he probably does what he did this past year just because, you know, he was just on such a stupid pace with the bat. I think he might do it in the future, but I think this year is about, A, he's the best DH in the league. He's a star. He's hitting second, third, and, you know, one of the coolest teams in baseball. And the Dodgers are going to try to be this generation's Yankees. You know, I think that's what this is. And Shohei, you know, Mookie is great. Freddie's great. Love those guys. Shohei is now the face of this franchise, you know,
100%.
And it is wild that you can say someone is ripping face of the franchise from Mookie Betts, but that's what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
I like I said, Dodgers were not my number one choice as far as my own personal preference, because I just get queasy thinking about the Braves having to pitch against that and play against that, you know, and if it really does work out to that extreme, oh my God, you know, like the game has changed. But at the same time, I am getting, like, you know, months out goosebumps thinking about his first game in Dodger Stadium.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about how loud Dodger Stadium will
be. That's what I'm saying.
When he hits that first home run in the playoffs.
Even his first home run in person. Like, just his first Dodger home run is going to be comical.
It's like,
his first game is actually in Korea, which is funny.
As much as people dislike Dodgers fans, they are among the best in baseball, without a doubt.
I mean, there's a ton of them, and they're crazy. So they play their first two games in Korea. because they got that weird, early series against the Padres. But then March 28th is their home opener, which is, I think, like, you know, most other teams' first day. They play an afternoon game against the Cardinals. And it's going to be, 1:10 p.m. in Los Angeles? Yep. And how many people do you think are going to be there? Like, it's going to, like, break records. Like, I don't know how many more people, like, fire safety-wise, you can fit into that building, but it is going to be the hottest ticket. I think it's going to be the hottest ticket an opening day has ever had in the history of baseball.
I mean, I went to opening day when Harper signed with the Phillies to see his first game. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, one of the loudest crowds I've ever been a part of. That's right. This Dodgers game is going to be that on steroids. It's going to be insane.
I mean, just the concept of him hitting like a home run or like some like, you know, laser or something in his first at bat. Just like, it's like, I don't even know what it would be compared to, you know, it would just be like, we are watching something that is just so.
John Heyman tweeted out, heard from one of the finalists in the Shohei sweepstakes. They said, "We certainly weren't at $6.99."
That's a good one.
Oh boy.
I think the Dodgers probably outbid everyone by $100 million. I
feel like the Blue Jays stuff might have been a smokescreen to get more money from the Dodgers.
I think the Blue Jays, their top pitch might have been a lot of those narrative things or like interesting kind of like,
yeah, but I wonder if everything tweeted out yesterday was a smokescreen to get the Dodgers to up their offer.
I don't think so, because I think the main thing behind yesterday was a stupid plane, and that was just some a-hole on Twitter not knowing the Shark Tank guy has a plane, you know. So I mean, I think I am very curious where or how much we hear about the entire process. I would love.
I need to tell all book.
We just criticized Rosenthal, but he typically is really good about this type of stuff, which is like how this happened A to Z. This would be a great time to have it as much as he's complaining about the entire process. So I'm hoping within the next couple weeks, we get that full scope. That, you know, they're able to kind of give enough of an idea of what teams were in, you know, maybe the Braves were in, maybe the Braves were out, maybe the, you know, XYZ teams, the Giants, how close were the Giants? There's a lot of teams where I'd love to hear if they thought they had a chance, if they didn't think they had a chance, if they did talk to them, didn't talk to them, I would, you know, eat that up, whether it's a book or an article or whatever. So, do we know when it's press conferences yet?
No. My guess is it might be Monday.
I was going to say either tomorrow or Monday, probably.
Or whenever the physical's complete.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we might have covered everything on that front. I'm glad he's not an Angel. I'm sorry, Angels fans. That's tough.
I am too.
We knew that was going that way. That
would have been bad. I'm glad he's not a Brave.
Yeah, no.
Because I was not mentally ready for that.
Listen, we got Max Stassi.
We're good. Well, so that's where I was worried when they acquired those two Angels yesterday.
You thought those were Shohei and Ohtani's best friends?
Max Stassi has caught Shohei more than any other catcher.
I was like,
no, this is happening.
David Fletcher brings Ohtani to Atlanta. Meeting. We need David Fletcher.
Legitimately was panicking. I was like conspiracy theorying in my head, like Mark Bauman's just lying about Ohtani stuff because he knows he's coming, but he doesn't want to leak it. Like I was coping hard, and I'm glad I don't have to cope anymore.
But yeah, I think we spilled all of our thoughts on it. But a really fun kind of into the story. Process.
Yeah.
Regardless of how we thought it went, in the meantime, and you know, we're going to have a few months to kind of stew and think about the possibilities ahead and see what the Dodgers and Ohtani have in store.
Tell you what, Dodgers-Braves rivalry is going to be fun now.
Yeah.
Dodgers, Phillies. That's sure. going to be fun. Like the three excited. Best teams in the NL, which yeah. are the Dodgers, Braves, and Phillies. Like the rivalry between these three teams is going to be a lot of fun with Shohei in the NL now.
Yeah, and it's truly those are the three teams, and
yeah,
the Braves are probably going to be usurped by a lot of people. Like, I mean, the Dodgers are going to be like the hands down regardless of what 100%. We describe their flaws. Everyone's going to call them the best team in baseball or yeah. whatever, right? But like, the Braves are still going to have a claim to being the best team in baseball, even with Ohtani at DH right now. It's just a yeah. matter of what the Dodgers still have in store next. And the Phillies are going to have, you know,
the Phillies have the vibes of that golfer in the tie-dye pants smoking a cigarette.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, that's where they're at.
They're the John Daly of baseball. He's the
John Daly of baseball.
Right? They're yep. just smoking cigars and crunching fresh and beers right now in yep. the parking lot. So,
yep.
Yeah, man, that was a really crazy day, crazy couple hours, crazy week.
Yeah.
Also, someone else moved teams.
Oh. Who? Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. So the Yankees. The Yankees. I thought you were about to break news. I was like, oh, no. Wait, yeah, we have someone else to talk about. Yeah. The Yankees completed their trade. They have acquired Juan Soto and Trent Grisham from the Padres in exchange for Michael King, Kyle Higashioka, Drew Thorpe, Johnny Brito, and Randy Vasquez.
It says something about how big the Ohtani deal is that we went 40 minutes before we just said that Juan Soto got traded. Juan
Soto got traded, yeah.
<That's> so crazy. You could have had an emerging podcast for him.
I know we could have.
And now he's second billing.
Good. Like, is it a good return for the Padres?
It's a nice return. Yeah, it's kind of it's different than the Nationals traded him with 2.5 years left, so you have to use that calculus, right? But
right.
I think this was roughly about what I was expecting. I am a little surprised with guys like that. I'm surprised when teams don't just go full stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like I just usually expect, whether it's, you know, the people that we deal with and, you know, our circles or the stuff that we've seen in baseball. I mean, remember the era of giving up two elite prospects for 2 months of, you know, Andrew Miller and stuff like right. that. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a really big fan of Michael King. Like, he was like the best pitcher on the Dodgers, minus Cole, for like the entire time he was a starting pitcher. Dodgers, the Yankees, Sorry, Dodgers on the mind. Like, he only was a starter for like 2 months, and he was like amazing. You know,
yeah.
He had a 13 strikeout game. Like at the end of August or early September or something like that. I had him on a fantasy team and I was kind of like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. And he was always a really good reliever. So I think he's like a real dude. He's only got a couple of years of control, but like that's a good guy to get if you want to stay competitive right now. Like you could easily see a world where 2 years of Michael King is just worth one or, you know, close to one of Juan Soto. If he's like a three or four win guy, you know, like that wouldn't shock me at all. Because he was just that. So, and then the top prospect they got back, Drew Thorpe, is a guy that I thought was really, really talented. And then they got a bunch of guys who are kind of like going to be on the MLB roster or, you know, interesting kind of guys. So, I mean, I think it was pretty reasonable. And it was a very big swing by the Yankees. And I'm just curious from here, you know, what their plans are, because they're way more flawed than the Dodgers are.
Oh, 100%.
And
well, it seems like plan number one,
clock ticking clock, you know, the Dodgers now are just like, all right, we got the guy we wanted and he can't leave. Whereas the Yankees have this guy who's amazing and he's also forcing their other best player into center field. And they also don't have any, you know, depth in pitching. Yeah. And, you know, so it's kind of a weird fit. But it's also the New York Yankees. Like they've been needing to do this for how long? You know, this was going so long without them having like a real successful, you know, put my balls on the table on the New York Yankees moment.
It seems like plan number one right now is Yamamoto for the Yankees.
Yeah.
And like they've had scouts at every single one of his starts. they've been pretty in on Yamamoto for a long time. So I if anyone's getting Yamamoto, I see it being the Yankees.
It's just like, are they going to pay three starting pitchers, like,
I mean,
$600 million?
They've got to.
Cole is at 300.
Cole's at 300. He
Rodon is at, what, 170.
Yeah. So that's
470. I'm just counting the full values. And then Yamamoto, there's a rumor like 300.
You could get 300, yeah.
And then that's after Ohtani just got 700. And I know that doesn't necessarily mean one or the other, right? But like, it is 25-year-old ace doesn't happen, you know? Yeah. And so
I think the Yanks are going to do it. I think they're going to do it.
I think they certainly could. It's just.
But they've got to extend Soto. That's the big thing. Extend Soto.
I don't think they are, though. Like, this
I don't think. No. Boris is going to have him go to free agency without a doubt.
Yeah.
He's not signing an extension unless the Yankees give him $500 million.
Which they should.
I wouldn't put it past the Yankees to do that.
I mean, I think if you have anything, if you're the Yankees, it's just. I'm sure the Dodgers deal for Ohtani, this is just gonna frame every conversation we have now. The Dodgers offer $700 million because it's a commitment to, you know, you're gonna be here forever. We trust you. We're, you know, like, there, this is just lock it in, you're our guy, we want you here. We're gonna go far and beyond to make sure that is the case. You know, we're going to break every precedent that's been established to make sure that happens.
Right.
You don't have to do that with Soto to the same degree, but I mean, Soto is what, 4 or 5 years younger than Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
And
like, dude, he's going to love playing in New York. I can tell you that.
Which means he's 25, you know? Yep. So like, and he's not going to, he just turned 25. It's so crazy. Even as me, he's like a mild Juan Soto critic. Like, he's so crazy.
He's going to love New York. And like, if I'm picking top three in a fantasy draft this year, I'm taking him.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Above a lot of players. Like, he's going to be insane.
I think it's like him, Acuna, and Ohtani, and it's a coin flip on which one you want the most. I mean, I think Acuna, if he steals.
Acuna's still my first pick.
Yeah, I think he's still first. But
if I have the second pick, I'm taking Soto. Soto
and Ohtani both moving into like better conditions to hit is pretty huge. I think the Yankees have to treat this in a similar manner of take whatever the like, what is the most comparable deal here? I guess Trout.
Yeah.
Was the guy here, right? Because he signed when he was probably, he signed when he was like, you know, 28, 29,
27, something like that. Yeah.
So, but he is like the most comparable one as far as like the gigantic contracts for a normal player, the non-Ohtani division. So if you want Juan Soto for next 14 years, you know, which is something that Ohtani got 10, you know, so you're adding even years here. Even if he's only going $50 million a year, $45 million a year, that is a $500, $550 million at least contract. So I think that is the kind of key there, where you're not, there's no reason to like short him, you know, and like, you have every advantage in the world now.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it takes, quote, overpaying. How many people are going to look at this contract and be like, the Dodgers overpaid for Shohei Ohtani? Like, you know, like, no one, like, you can copium yourself to death, but like, no one really thinks that the Dodgers are worse off for signing Shohei Ohtani. And I can say whatever I want about Juan Soto. If the Yankees signed him for $500 million after the year, whenever he's willing to sign, no one's going to be like, what an idiot franchise wanting to lock up Juan Soto, you know? So they have a lot of moves to make, and they're on shakier foundation than the Dodgers, but they have a way to do this that it'll look good. It's just they have some kind of maneuvering to do here that matters a little bit more than the Dodgers.
Definitely. All right, real quick, we're going to go through the last few transactions that happened this week. Yankees did get Alex Verdugo from the Red Sox.
Red Sox-Yankees trade.
Really weird trade. Yep. Yeah. So presumably he's going to play left with Judge in center and Soto in right.
I still hate that.
I hate it. Like, I hate it.
They did get Trent Grisham in the trade too, so that helps as far as the defense. But
yeah.
The one last thing about the Yankees, and it fits into this, you know, Verdugo's addition. Like, what happens to Giancarlo? Because I feel like he's just a DH
at this point.
Right, but like, this is going to sound insane because he's the last guy they did this for. You know, he was their Juan Soto of 6 years ago, whatever it was. Like, I'm gonna stall for 5 seconds to look up what he has left on his contract. He is a 32, 32, 29, 25. So he has
4 years.
About $110, $120 million dollars left over 4 years. If he is just the same guy, you know, where he was really bad. Like, he wasn't even like, oh, he's hurt, but
I wonder if they pay someone to take him or just flat out release him.
No trade clause.
Yeah.
A full no trade clause, which is how, you know, they could feasibly just
flat out release him.
He played 100 games last year, which is way more than I thought, and he was just horrendous.
Bad.
You know, bad. And that kind of, his spot kind of clogs up any kind of flexibility they have. Because, like, Aaron Judge, center fielder, makes me queasy, but, like, if they could rotate, you know, hey, Judge, you play right field today. Hey, Juan, you play DH. And then the next day, it's like, hey, Juan, play right field. Aaron's gonna DH, you know, especially with the injury issues that Aaron has had. But like with Giancarlo there, like, I just don't like, what is the move here? You know, because I just don't.
There is
a universe where he's just like an okay DH. You know, I think that's still possible, right? But like, something's gonna happen injury wise. He is like, you know, Carlos Correa level, like, statue. You know, he doesn't move, you know, so he's not like helping you on defense or, you know, he's like, I guess he played some left field and whatever. Like, it's not like he's doing anything. He's not doing anything but hitting home runs and taking some walks every once in a while. Like, they really need to figure out what to do with that spot, whether, you know, Stanton is there by the end of the year or not, to like really be serious. Because you can't have a guy doing that, you know, at your DH spot. It just doesn't work. So that is, I think, the biggest question mark. Along, you know, like, the Yamamoto thing is the biggest thing they can just do easily by just paying a lot of money. And Soto's future, like, after that, it's about Stanton. And, like, what is he and what do they think he is? Can he play first base? You know, like, do they want him to play first base? You know, I think there's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Verdugo goes to the Yankees. Eduardo Rodriguez signed a 4-year, $80 million contract with the Diamondbacks. He's now their number 3 starter, maybe 2, I don't know.
Yeah, like 2 in the mid rotation. They got a solid top 4.
They got a solid top 4, but I mean,
yeah, if you want to count 5 as a 4, it might depend on the person.
Unfortunately, Shohei just joined the NL West, so, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a little harder. You know, they're in a decent position. I'm glad they didn't back off, you know, like the Mariners and some other teams did, you know. I think it's not terrible. I don't love the fact that they gave him the same no-trade clause that the Tigers did, because that cost the Tigers a lot of valuable resources when he decided he didn't want to be traded to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. So I am generally not a fan of no trade clauses, like, as far as the team is concerned. Like, I understand you got to do what you do to sign a guy. I'm not ignorant of that fact, but I would have rather just paid him $80 million, and I don't think anyone else is offering more than that. So, it makes sense. He's stable. He's solid. He can pitch a playoff game, even if it's not like he's not your ace.
Yeah. Okay, Craig Kimbrell signs with the Orioles. 1 year, $13 million with a club option for the second year. God bless the Orioles. Have fun with that, with him as your closer.
Show goes on.
The show goes on. I can't, you know, once they publish their findings, I want BNav to present Craig Theory for everyone.
Craig Theory, yeah, we'll have them on for Craig Theory. Theory is basically the way you can identify if Craig is going to be amazing or horrible in a given game. So we'll leave that on the table if they ever come on.
Yeah. Braves traded Marco Gonzalez to the Pirates for cash. And then they traded Evan White to the Angels for David Fletcher and Max Stassi. And now apparently Stassi's not staying. They're going to trade him to another team.
Do you remember the what is the thing called? Where is it the little red paperclip?
Yeah, you flip your way from a paperclip to a telescope. Yeah. I feel like the Braves
one
are flipping
red
paperclip,
that's it.
Yeah. I feel like the Braves are flipping their way from one red paperclip to Tyler Glass now.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of money. There's someone, shout out to this person in the Braves subreddit that broke down the money parts of it, right?
Yeah.
It's like basically this money's here, right? Evan White's getting paid this. Marco's going here. We think a little bit of cash went to the Pirates for this. Is basically a lot like the what's his name last year? Jake Odorizzi trade, where they're paying most of it to get rid of him, but they save a little bit. There's just lots of like little bits of money changing a lot of different hands. And then like it is just a mess of transactions that result in the Braves having Jared Kelenic in left field. David Fletcher is their super utility guy. And, you know, all it took them was really like, what, $15, $20 million, which is like such an interesting way of doing it. I don't know if it's like great. You know what I mean? Like, does it matter that much that you moved on and got, you know, friggin' these guys? I don't know, man. You guys were obviously shocked by the Kelenic thing. I was too, but like, I'm not going to say that Jared Kelenic is going to be like a god, you know? I think it's much more likely he's just mid.
But I could see him having an all-star season with the Braves.
I could see it as like the upper level possibility. Yeah. But it certainly is fun to watch, you know, a very non-traditional offseason where the Dodgers just straight up used a buttload of money to change their roster. The Braves are using a healthy dose of money to make lots and lots of small changes to the roster, which is a very, they have basically ripped out, like, it's like having a really nice house, you know, but like, you know, you just renovate, you know, it's like ripping out the, you know, wallpaper and you get new furniture and, you know, like, so like the stable, big, fancy parts are the same. But there's, you know, the sink is just really nice, and the shower has like one of those, like, you know, doors that open up, or like, you know, standing shower. And you just, you know, there's little additions, you know,
right,
and tweaks, and it's been very funny from our perspective as guys that like that kind of transactional stuff, I think.
Yeah. And then the last thing, the Guardians got the number one pick in the MLB draft, winning the lottery. Reds got the second overall pick.
Ohio.
The Ohio boys. So, good for them. And that's,
Yeah. I think that one was, they were like the, what, 16th, 17th
team
on the list.
Both teams had like,
because they just missed the playoffs, both of them. And then the top of this draft is supposed to be kind of like mid, like it's like college hitters where it's like, that's fine, but it's not like, you know,
Wyatt Langford, Paul Skenes, Dylan Cruz.
It's like the next guy's down for that, which is still good, you know, but like more stand, like it's like a first baseman is like your number one pick possibility, and Jack Caglione, who's like a two-way player, but no one knows which one he's actually better at. The biggest probably impact is that a couple teams like the Athletics, I think the Athletics and the White Sox,
like that,
they basically, so they all, became, you know, they all were in the top six. And so going forward, even if the A's, you know, the A's are going to be freaking horrible again.
Yeah, they are not eligible for the first pick next year.
Yeah, they can only be up to what, like 10th or 6th or I forget where the line is.
10th.
But a really interesting, a really brutal swing last couple years for, I think, those two teams in particular, among others. And a nice little, like, hey, look at us from the Guardians. So
it's supposed to prevent tanking, and I think it might. Yeah. I think it's going to do its job.
I think there might be still a tweak to be made of, like, a team that almost made the playoffs probably shouldn't be getting the number one pick.
Yeah.
But I prefer this compared to a team like the A's. Just collecting first picks would bother me a lot, you know, considering how they've treated Oakland and all that stuff. So maybe we can just, like, you know, pass it off as karma.
Yeah.
Yeah, some big implications there, and a very peculiar result from a lottery.
All right. Well, that is it. That is the big day we've had here.
We made it.
We made it. Finally it's made done. It. The Ohtani watch is over. The rest of the offseason is on. Hopefully, come next week, we'll have a Yamamoto deal done. We'll have a Blake Snell deal done. Cody Bellinger might happen, you know, but...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there was one last thing I just, Sarah Langs just tweeted. Do you know the last MVP to change teams? There's only been five ever, like, free agency. So, there's only been five players to go from MVP, winning MVP that year to free agency. Two of those five, including Ohtani, changed teams. Do you know what the last one is?
Oh.
Because Judge... A-Rod and Robin Yount stayed with their respective teams.
Was it after Barry? Winning MVP.
It was Barry Bonds.
Yep.
So Ohtani joins Barry in that respect as well. So
wow.
I wonder if we look back on today, like, you know, the day that Barry Bonds put on a Giants uniform. Obviously, it ended it's up possible, going in a different direction, but
it's you know, very possible.
One of the most impactful things ever.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it. Dylan, thank you for joining me. This was a blast.
Absolutely.
So Rain Delay Radio is produced by Luis. Our music is produced by Chuck Leese. I was joined today by Dylan. I'm Patrick. Rain Delay Radio usually releases every Monday. But sometimes, you know, possibly in this case, we put it out earlier or we put it out later. But usually every Monday we release it. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.